Welcome to Thinking Reimagined.
Thinking Reimagined is a unique platform for thoughts-provoking intergenerational dialogue
in a diverse and inclusive setting with a focus on impactful change
in the global workplace and community.
Our stakeholders' conversations aim to spark thought,
leadership,
curiosity,
engagement,
collaboration, and learning
amongst individuals, teams, and beyond.
Enjoy this episode. And subscribe to Thinking Reimagined on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and other outlets. Here we are. Welcome to another edition of Thinking Reimagined. And I am joined by my co-host and moderator, Nifemi Oguntoye, and a wonderful panel that are going to contribute to today's discussion. Last week, we were discussing the creative economic participation, and this week, we're shifting our discussion to the creative economy, an invaluable export. And I think it's very fitting with all of the attention that we're getting within the creative space. Nifemi, what are your thoughts today, and welcome.
Absolutely. Well, like we've established in previous episode, Africa is more or less becoming a creative powerhouse. And I've also heard some of the AST co-founders talk about how the continent boasts of the world's perhaps largest number of youngest and, you know, fastest growing population. As you know, Dr. Ama, it's largely the young who fuel the creative sector. And then, you know, by 2035, I understand that sub-Saharan Africa will have more working age people than the rest of the world combined. So there's no better time to begin to explore the potentials and, you know, empower the potentials of the creative industry, particularly here in Africa. According to the United Nations, really, we understand that about 2.4 million people were employed in the creative industries in Africa and the Middle East in 2015. So the sector is garnering as much as, you know, $60 billion in revenue. It's a lot of money, really. And then I know that we'll also be exploring how to repatriate some of the monies made by, you know, these African giants outside the shores of the continent. Let me quickly introduce our guests on this episode. Peter Amanboyo is co-producer of the Thinking Reimagined podcast, but is also joining us right now as a filmmaker that he has a vast portfolio as an award winner in cinema, television, and mobile phone cinematography, short film, and documentary production. Mr. Boyo is an avid script consultant and facilitator in training technical, art, and business of film and TV content, as well as production. We also have Olumide Abdulkareem, who is co-founder of Africa Sustainable Trade, entrepreneur, director of operations, and business development. Hopefully, Mr. Yinka Oyegoke will join us in the course of this episode. Dr. Ama, you've heard a lovely voice already, entrepreneur, educationist, behavioral consultant, and resilience coach. She's the immediate past chairperson of the British Business Group Nigeria and currently chairs Africa Sustainable Trade, which she co-founds. So where do we start from? Perhaps with Mr. Boyo. Let's explore how you think the creative industry has recovered post-COVID, particularly in Africa. What do you think is happening in that sphere?
First of all, the creative industry, let's not limit it to just filmmaking and music, because it spans more than that. There's artisans, there's fashion, cultural crafts, computer games, apps, and I think the digital platforms, talking about post-COVID, the digital platforms have really helped to boost our creative industry, because we were able to connect with other parts of the world through global, through the digital platforms. So for instance, we're talking about how our creative industry is making 60 million or 60 billion dollars. And that revenue, or that this revenue is outside of Africa. So how do we get it back into Africa? Because this money is not being invested in Africa because there's so many factors. I don't even know where to begin from. But take, for instance, Davido, Burna Boy, talking about music. They're having concerts and generating so much income outside. And then the film industry, our movies have been shown. I can give you an example. The first time I saw a Nollywood movie was when I was living in New York, and I got it in a Jamaican store. Now, this is a Nollywood movie produced by a Nollywood producer in Nigeria, and it's being sold in a Jamaican store in New York. Now, is that producer getting any royalties, or does he even know his movie is out there? So we can even talk about piracy and all that. So there's so many factors. We just have to pick and choose, so to speak. So for now, that's what I was saying.
It's interesting that you should bring up the 60 billion, because I read somewhere that it's globally is a $985 billion industry by the end of this year. You know, that they expect it's going to be 985 billion.
The 60 billion, I think, is Nigeria. I don't think it's Africa.
Africa and the Middle East. It's even about $58 in revenue. Yeah.
It is a lot. It is a lot. But you know, here we have to remember one thing, that this is the greatest export. I think I've said over the last 2 weeks that the greatest export from Africa now is the people. And so when you have the creative industry that is generating resources, you know, it's unfortunate that much of it probably gets trapped abroad. But let's think about what it does when you have it over here. It's creating jobs. It's creating revenue. Even within the continent, there is revenue. There is an exchange. It may not be to the level that we expect, but it is there. And there is so much emphasis on investment in Africa to support this industry because of the value that it's bringing. It's opened up avenues that we don't normally think about. You know, I think last week it was Yinka who talked about young people now listening to Afrobeats in all parts of the world. I mean, you just have to go on social media and the music is there. People are dancing to it. You know, African artists are now collaborating with other international artists to produce and to really heighten the cultural essence of the continent. Because at the end of the day, what they're doing is they're exporting their talents, they're exporting Africa. And so they're changing the narrative of how we view the continent and how the continent is viewed. And I think it was Yinka last week who said, can you imagine a young boy listening to this in Siberia and being so curious that he wants to come over? So that circular economy comes into place. There's a value chain that's created where now you want to go and see that area. I want to go to that concert in that country. And that really ramps up interest on the continent, which is really very important at the end of the day. So I'm absolutely thrilled. But Peter is right. We shouldn't limit it to Afrobeats and Nollywood. We need to think about the textiles. There are more designers that are using bold African prints these days. People want you to bring fabrics from here, the art world, the arts and crafts, you know, the apps. You know, the apps that are being created are generating interest as well. But all of this is fueled by technology because, you know, when you have the technology, you can really enhance things. And I'm actually told by a few people in the creative industry that some of the film bits and pieces are actually done on this continent, again, because of the labor cost, but it's creating jobs. And I think that should be the focus. And Nifemi started off this conversation by happening on youth. Yes, we have to. we have to really think about the youth and their contribution. But remember that in a participatory creative economy, everyone matters. I matter, you matter, and the young. So we need to continue to emphasize that. Maybe I'm going to start exporting my gilets. What do you think, Nifemi?
Well, I'd like to add something about the fashion industry. There was an incident of an Ankara fabric. For those who don't know, Ankara is the prince dress. And that dress was sold by a foreign designer for $7,000. Meanwhile, that same style was being sold in Lagos in Akerele Street for like $20. So do you see where I'm going with that, right?
There's a disparity. You're absolutely correct. Yeah, there is a disparity. But you know what I'm really fascinated about now is the return to what is the authentic African fabric, the kentes and the, what do you call them? Ashoke? The Adire. You know, people are really batiks, hadira. You know, there's an increased interest in that because people are sort of moving away from the other because it's, you know, it's being made in China. It's not authentic. You know, the designs have been copied, but there's an entire textile industry that we have not tapped into or is being tapped into now, where people are actually showing and talking about the history behind the designs and why it's being made authentically, but also what it brings to the community. You know, you have artisans that are producing these things locally and adding value to the marketplace. And I think that's very important. Olumide, did you want to join the conversation?
You know, I always like to, anything I want to discuss, I always like to go back in history and look at where we're coming from. So I know where we are and where we're going to. And if we start from, you know, educational idea of how we evolved into such a superpower in entertainment as now, you go back to when I was in school. If you're not studying, if you're not in law, if you're not in medicine, if you're not in engineering, anybody they ask, you know, we look at them and say, oh, this one, their parents have left them behind. They're just wasting their time in Berkeley. The guys in the theater arts departments and other courses that we felt were in the arts were just, literature, all these guys were just wasting their time. Because as of that time, there was no value to the art. But with the growth of the internet and social media, everything has exploded, and we are on a different course, if I may say. But then again, we look at how do we harness all this business and the potentiality of what it can bring to the table. As of now, we might be making, like Dr. Amma just said, or Peter, it is 60 billion you mentioned. It's only 18% of what to generate that we are generating as we speak, also as of this year, only 18 to 10, because we still don't have the framework to capture so much that is being left on the table. And like you said, the David Lowe's, the Bonner Boys, even the Nollywood movies, that are good quality, go on Netflix, and the revenue is shared at a higher percentage to the other side. The African continent is still not getting what it should earn from all this revenue. And this, the same thing goes across the board, even if you go into fashion. Years back, anytime you're traveling, you get people trying to buy clothes and shirts and pants, and those days are gone. Half of the people, especially in my generation, the 40s and 30s, is like everything they wear, from the traditional outfit to the boo-boos, to the skirts, to the adire, everything is got on the continent. Everything, you know, the business of just being a tailor or a designer is so robust now that it's also part of this market that we are still having captured. And if you have the right data, you discover that you still have a lot that we're leaving on the table when it comes to this, you know, trying to assess all the opportunities that's available for the continent. from music to the arts to entertainment to you just name it. And like you said, including the artisan space. I'll give you an example. You said about it's according to the United Nations, it's generating about 2.2 million in employment. No, that data, it can be correct. Because when you look at an average studio or an average office, in Nigeria, you have to, from the runner to the receptionist to the security guard, they are not on the platform, they are not captured. And this is also part of the opportunities that have been created. I'm sure Peter will enlighten us. As a movie producer, anytime you're on set, the amount of people you employ, that from the internet to the light to the photographer to the extras, so many people are employed at any point in time. So yes, we are moving, but we are not yet there. There are still so many opportunities, and I think it's something not only the private sector, but the government has to look at critically and even include it in our education. You see, our syllabus as a whole has to be redefined, because a lot of people are going to school and coming out and the degree it's not I won't say useless, but it's not benefiting society. So we need to create more opportunities in the arts. So when you're going to university, you don't have to necessarily go and study law. If your interest is in videography, is in filming, is in pattern design, those opportunities should also be in the higher education. That way we are building a better brand and quality of people that can start their own businesses, or they're even more employable than they are at the moment. So that's just one aspect of it. Let's look at the revenue. Like you say, all the artists earn more money, not because they don't want to perform here, but because the strength of most of the African currency are not don't generate enough. The video has been on the world tour now for about a couple of months. I don't know how much he has earned in that space of time, but there's no way he could have earned that amount of funding or revenue on the continent, which is a total different dynamics that we have to look at when it comes to the strength of the African currency. Everybody's going to go where the money is, irrespective of how much they love the continent. And Africans live everywhere around the world. So you discover that anytime they're having those shows, 80% of the crowd, they're the Africans who are from Uganda, Zimbabwe, not only Nigeria, everywhere around the world are interested. It used to be like, I used to consult for a law firm here a couple of years back. And anytime I'm in the office, there's a small radio that plays in the background. And he used to play once in a while, once in a week, I might hear an African song and I get excited. I'm like, oh, that's Burna Boy. But guess what? Now it's like six or seven times a day. I don't even move anymore. They're the ones who are saying, I want to try you that, that Burna Boy song. Everybody knows it, irrespective of, they don't even know what their song is about. They don't know what it's saying, but it's about the beat and the liking. And I think it's our time, and everyone is turning to Africa, investment opportunity, businesses. I mean, like Andy mentioned the last week, owner of ChatGPT, he was in Nigeria. Philippines was in Nigeria. They're not in Nigeria because they love us. No, because they're seeing opportunities there.
Yeah. You brought up some very important comments as you were speaking. I was thinking about it, that the reason this art is or it's being exported, this creative economy that's being exported, it is in a way the intellectual property of the individuals, and they recognize that there's higher value for their creativity overseas. So and of course we know the power of the diaspora. Those in the diaspora, not only are they earning more than their counterparts here, they also have a bit more of the disposable income, but they have a greater appreciation. And because globally we're more connected now, thanks to technology, we can actually have a greater reach. And we all know that so much of money that is on the African continent is remittance, you know, people sending money back to help their families. The question now becomes, how do we continue to use this to drive the economy within the continent? You know, is it about exporting more, or is it about exporting more but being able to import back the monies that they've earned so that they can then invest in the country? Because overall, when you can invest on the continent, you're going to see greater growth. But all of this is about development. How do you further develop the countries? Well, should I say the continent, since we're speaking about Africa, but you know what I mean, the countries. If everyone brings back some portion of that and invest it within the continent, there will be greater growth. But there has to be an example. You can't leave all your funds up outside. But at the same time, how do we help those who are here, who are incredibly creative, but don't have those resources? What are the financial instruments? What can people do within their communities to enhance the creativity that's available? That's another question that we should ask.
I think we have to create opportunities and change the mindset, because Africa creative wealth, like I said, goes beyond filmmaking and movies. There's the beauty industry. For instance, Ori, which is the shea butter and black soap, is being exported at such a great amount that these beauty products are being used either purely, or they've been, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, they're using products, yes, abroad. And then the cultural crafts, we see that back in the day, our crafts from Benin and all that was sent abroad. But cultural crafts is another big creative value wealth. And then there's the young people now are doing video games, there are apps coming out, there are apps all over, and all this is being exported.
Yes.
So I was saying the mindset, because I don't know how far you heard me, but once they get this connection, this digital platform, they sell their wares, and their mindset is to take that money and move outside of Nigeria. So we have to create opportunities for them to stay back in Africa or invest back in our economy, instead of wanting to create these opportunities, create this wealth, and then take it outside of Africa. So that mindset too has to change by us finding a way, the government, the corporations, creating opportunities for creatives in Africa.
Did I hear Olumide speaking?
Yes. I just wanted to emphasize, you see, all this still comes down to, you know, the partnerships that we need to establish on the continent. YouTube, Spotify, is not owned by Africans. They only give us a percentage of our revenue. We don't have an African platform that captures all, you know, all this revenue. Why not? Because we are not speaking with each other. You know, the conversations are not happening. And that's why we keep on, you know, keep on living in silos. And that's why, you know, we are leaving a lot of money on the table. We need to create the framework. I don't want to rely on government. I don't want to go down that drain. I think we passed that aspect. You have all the people. So that's why our conferences also has the space for entertainment conversation, where we can come to the table with the likes of, you know, the big entertainers and producers like Don Jazzy, Marvin Record, the Burner Boy, sitting down with them and telling them, this is food on your table. How do you want to unless it? You still want to go, you know, cap in hand and sending your videos to YouTube and Spotify and leaving that opportunity on the table? Or do you want to take charge and form this partnership or collaboration and make the revenue you should earn? You know, these are the conversations that we need to, ASP is about, and we need to keep on emphasizing investment and partnership as the only way forward. It's not going to happen by magic. You know, they're not going to give you, you know, nobody's going to give you any money for free. You know, Spotify and YouTube are not going to stop, you know, they'll keep on taking advantage of you and giving you a few cents on the dollar of every music video that you watched. You know, and that's it. So, you know, I don't know the same about, you know, about that, but that's the way forward.
I think that's where AST comes in, creating this environment or platforms for creatives to know, I would call it like a marketplace, so to speak, digital marketplace, physical marketplace, because sometimes they don't have the wherewithal to know how to invest or the mindset. So I think the AST is going to is going to be a great, great platform.
That's part of our job. That's what we're all about. Opportunities are there, but if you don't actually showcase them and point people in the right direction and tell them, come to the table, what do you have? What are your challenges? These are the opportunities that are there. So we need to create, that's what we're all about. So we'll start with that.
This is the Thinking Reimagined podcast, sponsored by Allied Empowerment. Allied Empowerment Consultancy offers leadership and innovation through bespoke human development solutions, brain-based leadership, and coaching. Allied Empowerment empowers business leaders, teams, and individuals to intentionally accentuate desired outcomes built on trust, curiosity, psychological safety, engagement, and communication. Allied Empowerment, thriving in a sustainable and valued manner.
You know, I just wanted to add am I on? I just wanted to add very quickly that AST is the Africa Sustainable Trade, right? Just in case people are wondering what's the acronym AST that they're mentioning. But we have to remember that trade occurs. And though we're talking about the creatives and how much they're earning, there is trade being going on. And we have to think about in the longer, in the wider context, you know, whether I'm coming to your concert or I'm getting the drinks or I'm exporting things or there's trade occurring on so many levels. And I think we've alluded to the fact, the labor, that people then have jobs. Now, having a job and being paid accordingly so that you're getting equal pay or there's, you know, across the spectrum is another thing. But it's the value, and that value needs to be quantified, but it has to be value that is equitable, whether it's being exported or whatever is coming back in terms of imports. But I do think one of the things that's really important, if I could share, is that intra trade within the continent. So much is being exported. The people are being exported. The creatives are being exported. But what is going on within? If we can create the value for the music and enhance it here, then why don't people come over to the continent for the concerts? It's only a matter of time. Why do the artists, why do the films, why must it always go outwards? Look at India, for example. They export, but they have a phenomenal in creative industry within the continent, within India itself, and within Asia as a whole. There is an industry that's thriving. So yes, a change in mindset, but also recognizing that the way to build community is to enhance what is going on ground and to pay, to give the value. Why should somebody have a show and you come and you pay 10,000 naira, but then if somebody from abroad comes, then you pay 50,000 naira? They're all artists. So it's not equitable. And this is why many artists go abroad to promote what they have. It's a wonderful export, don't get me wrong, but it has to be equitable.
So
we have a guest, Ifemi.
Yeah. Professor Tai Bat Lawansin just joined us, and I'm sure that she will join the conversation shortly as well. Good to see you, Professor Lawansin. Thank you for joining the conversation. I just wanted to quickly establish something that I think Mr. Abdulkareem raised earlier, is the need to build a working framework to be able to, you know, take advantage of all of the things we're talking about. You didn't want to talk about government, but whether you like it or not, African government is a big stakeholder in all of what we're talking about. So the way I see it is, what is happening currently in Nigeria, for instance, is what's happening with our oil. So we have crude oil in abundant supply, but we can't refine them. So we export them and then have to buy them back in dollars. So that's what's responsible for the dollarization of our economy, such that It's why Naira doesn't have as much value. So what's happening right now is that, you know, I interviewed someone recently who is a strategist within the creative industry. And I was told that all of the biggest music exports from Nigeria are now charging dollars. So Burna Boy charges $1 million or more per show. So if you're going to bring Burna Boy, who is an export, who is a valuable export from Africa, if you want to bring him back to play, you have to pay him in dollars. Wizkid charges as much as $800,000. And then, you know, all of them like that, charging dollars. Now, the implication of that is that Naira would not have value. So to pay someone in Nigeria, if you are paying someone in dollars in Nigeria, I mean, that is a total mess of government's effort at unifying the interest rate. So I'd like us to answer the question of how do we, you know, someone mentioned the fact that most of the digital platforms on which these creative products are also made are not owned in Nigeria. The previous administration had to shut down Twitter at a point, asking that they open an office in Nigeria. Do you know how much Twitter makes in Africa? They don't even, they recently shut down their office in Kenya. So it's important that we create our own indigenous platforms. If we don't have these things, there's no way we can maximize all of these talent exports that we're talking about. So if we don't, and I hope that, you know, I hear you talk about, you know, Africa, you know, sustainable trade. I hope that you're planning to involve African government, because if we do not have these established structures on ground, you know, it might be really difficult to take advantage of, you know, this large talent, this huge talent resources that we have and that, you know, we pride ourselves in. Some of the biggest films in the world today are African inspired. Lion King, this movie about Wakanda. These are African stories, but how many of our own stories, you know, that we produce within the continent make as much money as those movies? You know, I can see that.
Something. Yes, because first of all, let me just say this: there's the good side, and then there's other sides which we try to talking about equitable rate and payments and all that. Let me give you an example, and this happened to me personally. I was doing a TVC, which is a TV commercial, and I was the second director, and there was another director who was doing just as much this since expatriate. So he was paid six times more than me because he was an expatriate. So that is why most artists charge in dollars, because when you're considered coming as an expatriate, you can charge higher rates. And this is something that goes on in the industry. There's the a lot of things that go on that we don't speak about, but it happens, not because we're not as talented or we're not as good, but because of the way we perceive expatriates. We perceive them as being more valuable to our products or whatever. If you say something is, I don't want to say it's a colonial mentalism, but I think it is. So if you think something from outside of Africa, you give it more value, and it goes on and on. And it's happening to us in the creative industry a lot. I don't want to talk too much about it and take up time, because the professors on, and I could go on about it, but that is why they charge in dollars, because of the value from being outside of Africa.
Let's bring Professor Lawanson into this conversation. She's been talking lately about envisioning, you know, a better future for African cities. And I've been following some of your work back here in Lagos. Perhaps we want to speak to how, you know, the creative industry fit into all of this.
Right. Thank you for having me. Essentially, I think we have, as Africans, a unique product to sell, and perhaps the packaging is what is faulty, as well as the access to the global market. And I think that's the real challenge. It's important that we start to place value on what we're producing here. And then the best way to do that is to start to create opportunities for those who are producing such value at the micro scale. A lot of those we've been talking about, Burner Boy, Whiskey, and all of that, we started to recognize their value after they started to be celebrated abroad. And I think that's where the problem is. We also need to recognize and appreciate and celebrate the homegrown talents, the talents that are refusing to go. I take, for example, people like Nike Art Gallery. She's producing art, she's supporting local artists, and she's opened up her space for an international art culture that is domiciled in Nigeria. And that the Osun Osogbo Festival is ongoing now. We have a lot of people that are coming over to Nigeria to celebrate that festival and buying the art, buying the fabrics and things like that. I think the switch for us will be to really start to see how to package what is homegrown and market it as a local product, but open to a global economy. And there's a place for governments, but from experience, we tend to find government piggybacking on things that have worked. So the real million-dollar question is, how do we support the small groups that are doing well? How do we support them to scale up? How do we support them to package their trade or their value to be attractive to an international audience without losing their authenticity? I won't say I have the answers, but I think somewhere in that mix is where the solution lies. Back to you.
You are the prophet.
I'm so glad.
So perhaps you want to tell us, is there a way around government in this regard? Because I like what you talked about, the Nike Art Gallery. I think she's been enjoying a lot of government support over the years. I don't know, but, you know, without playing down on our tenacity, you know, our creativity, but that also might have been responsible for why she stood up, stood out over the years. Do you agree?
I disagree. She enjoyed a lot of government celebration or patronage because she's a brand that has emerged. She's an unlettered woman. She has made a name for herself by her art and by supporting other local artists. You find that a lot of people from the Osogbo axis who have made it internationally in the art space, in sculpture, in fabrics, and all of that, they got a leg up from her. They got the exposure from exhibiting in her gallery. And her gallery is a private gallery. We see some government-supported galleries that are not doing well. We don't even know them. So that's where the difference lies. How do we learn? What do we learn from these kinds of initiatives that are operating at a small scale and very private driven, but mostly social, with social incentives or social objectives? How do we scale them up into a marketable venture that then becomes profitable?
May I just add, thank you so much, Taibat, for your comment, because I just wanted to bring this up. Last year, we worked with Fidelity Bank because they had a Fidelity Creative and Trade conference in London. And their whole thing was about showing the breadth of artisans from Nigeria, specifically Nigeria for them, that could be showcased abroad. These are the people that you don't hear about, the everyday artisans, artists, creatives. And I think 100 of them came through. About 100 of them that we had, about 100 exhibitors, right? And it was wonderful because people had a chance to see the richness and the quality of the products that they could bring. And that usually is what happens, is bringing it to a global level of, you know, quality state is what really makes it more profitable for the artisans. But we have to start by encouraging the arts in the country, you know, on the continent. The rich cultural diversity of the continent is immense. And some of it is being, it's sort of repackaged as opposed to allowing innovative ideas to come through the arts, which is what we need at the end of the day. But we have to start to value the artist here so that the value carries forth when they leave. You don't need to go abroad to get your value to bring it back to the continent, is what I'm trying to say. So if we spend more time, I think it was Peter or Lumide that's elucidated that we should encourage the arts in the schools. Not everyone is going to be a doctor or a lawyer. There's some children who are absolutely gifted. We need to start to showcase what they're doing. We need to go to the communities and see what they are doing. I mean, there's some authentic dyeing systems for textiles that have been going on for centuries, you know, from the start of time. We need to showcase those because that's what shows authenticity. That's what people long for. That's what brings value. But all of this cannot be done in a vacuum. So Nifemi, to ask your question for Africa's sustainable trade, I can assure you that there is no way that it can exist without a collaboration between government, the community, the private sector, the individuals. Everybody is a stakeholder. And our goal is to continue to showcase what is from Africa and to encourage intercontinental trade on this continent, whether it's in the creative industry or manufacturing industry. There's so much here. And then to help bring the investments to further develop it, because at the end of the day, it is a young continent. And the youth are incredibly innovative and creative, and they're coming up with ideas and concepts, but they need the financing. Making that financing available to them is going to be very critical, but at the same time, encouraging them to feature their work and pay the value that makes them feel worthy. I mean, don't give somebody 5,000 naira to come to a show, and then the same person can go abroad and get 10,000 for a ticket. It's ridiculous. There has to be value, and we have to start to value the rich cultural diversity because that's part of the cohesion that we have socially, but also part of what is being marketed.
So I'd like us to just bring this on.
Before you, I'd just like to add something before we move on to something else. You mentioned that I said we should avoid government. No, I'm not saying we should avoid government. You can't avoid government because government is involved in every aspect of the thing we do. But guess what? Let me ask you, do you think if the government had been involved from the beginning, where do you think our arts and entertainment would be where it is? No, it won't. Bureaucracy and issues that we know will always arise once they are involved. So I'm not saying you can't get government involved, but we try and limit them as much as possible because business growth thrives when there is freedom. The moment you start putting, you know, the bureaucracy of government being involved, approving this, approving that, applying for this, you see things, you know, they just start going sideways. You know, so I'm not saying we are just like I mentioned the last time we had a meeting with I can't remember the Dr. Ma was there, and I mentioned AFTA has been around for a while now, and although yes, they came on online in 2021 or 2020, but they were established in 2012. And the idea behind AFTA was to break down the barriers. Guess what? Is there any change? No, there's no change. It's still difficult for a trader, you know, to move goods, or even not a trader, a traveler to move from, you know, Lagos to, you know, Lome or Kutonu to Kenya. It's still so difficult. So what exactly was AFTA established for? So we as African Sustainable Trade, we are aware of those challenges, and the best way to do in the private sector is to maneuver around it so we can move, we can forge this partnership and create this platform for investments.
All right.
I just need it. I don't tell you to add that, so you won't have that. I'm trying to have avoid government. But you know, like in business or trade, it will always find its level. As much as we complain that the charges for services of the people in entertainment and the movies, they get more because business is going to go where it's going to try. So the artists, as much as they love their country, and every year in December they do so, and the average Nigerian can't afford it because, like Dr. Lama said, the table is about 10 million naira. How many people can afford that? But when he's doing it abroad, because the currency has value, he's only charging £100 or £50. And average people, they can save, but they can weigh their, although there's also VIP, but the opportunities are where they will go. So until we create an enabling environment, business will always find its level. It's like water.
All right, no doubt. I would just want us to, get some final comments on this conversation. No doubt, Nigerian music artists particularly have been smiling to the bank in a big way since the world's takeover of the Afrobeat genre of music. It's hard not to, say that has not had any significant economic impact on the African continent. Particularly when you consider how much we're receiving as remittance, which perhaps can, be improved on if we tidy up how much money returns from, most of their works outside the shores of the continent. But let's have your final take, and perhaps you have an idea for critical stakeholders and the role we all have to play to achieve this desire.
In order for us to be sustainable and to grow the economy, we're going to have to transform these industries. And I think it starts with an infrastructure, education particularly. Financing is important. But creating platforms where we can showcase all artists, the homegrown ones, the ones in the communities that are not going to get that immediate chance to go abroad to show their talent. And it all starts at the grassroots level. I also think that it's important for us to recognize the contributions that it is providing within the countries and on the continent as a whole. And we need to retain that cultural heritage that they have, whether it's from the textiles to the art forms that are being exported. But the exportation outside of the continent probably should be mirrored by within the continent. It's interesting, we're all using the word Afrobeats, and we're forgetting that there are other genre of music on the African continent. Everything is now lumped up as Afrobeats, but the traditional musicians are not getting the same play. Part of exchange, cultural exchange, is to give breath to everyone in the creative industry, because there's something for everyone. But to recognize that by doing that, it is possible not just for us to have greater remittance from those who are earning in dollars from abroad, but also to have greater investment from abroad coming into the continent to heighten the music, whether it's through creating avenues in technology, which would be fantastic, because wow, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could have a rural community put on a concert and others would pay you abroad and the money is given to them here on the continent and they can implement it and improve their livelihood. But these are the kinds of things that we need to look at on a greater level, improving the skills, improving technology, and probably changing the educational system whereby we heighten those subject areas in the arts and humanities that we have neglected in the past. But more importantly, creating avenues that artisans, the creative industry as a whole, can showcase within the continent and outside of the continent, and thereby bringing greater value.
I think Dr. Omar said everything, but I'll just add my little bit that we need to create opportunities. And what I'm talking about, changing the mindset so that the micro artist or the micro creative person or company would know that there's value to the products, there's value in Africa. So they don't aspire to create and export, that we create the value and we show the value and we learn by example. And those that are making it out should invest in Africa and show that you can do all this in Africa, because everybody has that jackpot syndrome, whether we want to admit it or not. We're creating to export ourselves, our products. So we need to create that value, that self-value.
If I may just add, because Dr. Omar has I've captured it all. And as she was speaking, I was just thinking, and I'm like, do you know for a fact that we're not capturing up to 10% of the talent pool we have on the continent? I see young people with so much skill and talent, but they don't have the opportunity because the few of the people we have who are heading those things are already overwhelmed with the opportunities. Why don't we have like, you know, 7 or 8 entertainment universities in the country? Why? Because most of these kids or the young people are not interested in, you know, studying things that is not of interest, you know, to them. If we have like 7 or 8 entertainment and musical universities in the country, I can tell you the change we will make will be drastic. Because they don't have the platform. You see them, you know, sending all sorts of messages online. Please just listen to my demo. I have this artwork. I just wanted to see. I have this. Can you help me out with this? Those who are receiving that, they're overwhelmed with, you know, all the talent that, you know, they don't know what to do. And that's you know, that's a leaking basket. You know, Dr. Emma said it all. We are going to try and, as much as we can at ASP, we're going to try and create an enabling, you know, platform whereby they can come and exhibit and co-create and partner with like minds. Because as much as we have all these things, if they're not working with each other, it's still a waste.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, everyone. I agree with you, Mr. Olumide Abdulkareem. We have the numbers, we have the huge resources, we have the talent, we excel at it. Why not create a system to, you know, not only educate, but to also empower that industry? Big thank you, everyone, for being a part of the podcast today. Mr. Olumide Abdulkareem is an entrepreneur, director of operations and business development, who is also a co-founder at the African Sustainable Trade. We also have on this episode Peter Amanboyo, filmmaker, and who's also shared passionately with us about his business and how Africa is faring in that regard. Dr. Ama, entrepreneur, educationist, behavioral consultant, resilience coach, co-founder of the Africa Sustainable Trade. Thank you so much for sharing. Professor Taibat Lawansing joined us earlier. She's professor of urban management and governance with the University of Lagos. I think we had a very fruitful conversation, a lot to learn, and hopefully we'll also see how the ASD can build on this. And I know there's a trade week. Oh, what do we call it again?
You mean the Africa Sustainable Trade Week? Yes, there is going to be a trade week coming up and we'll be sharing more information, but you can certainly follow Africa Sustainable Trade on all of the social media platforms. Yes, indeed. Absolutely. Yes. Thank you everyone for being here. We've thoroughly enjoyed your insight on this topic and we look forward to seeing you next week for another discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye for now.
This has been a Thinking Reimagined podcast.
The executive producer is Dr. Ama. Co-producer Peter Amanboyo.
The podcast is edited by Nelken and it is moderated by Nifemi Okuntoyin.
Thinking Reimagined emphasizes the importance of transformational conversations, which have as their aim the bringing about of the rich diversity of thoughts and, most importantly, powerful and applicable effective solutions and change.
The views, opinions, and contributions of the panelists are exclusively theirs and do not reflect the opinions of Thinking Reimagined producers or personnel. Thank you for listening,
and we hope you have enjoyed this episode.
We invite you to subscribe to Thinking Reimagined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and other outlets.
We look forward to presenting another riveting episode next week.
Thinking Reimagined podcast is produced by Live Abundantly.
We welcome your thoughts and invite you to visit our website, livesabundantly.com.
Or you can follow us on social media on Live Abundantly 8.
Thinking Reimagined, changing the mindset for a better global society.